Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're wrapping things up this week talking about the Lordship and Majesty of Jesus, the amazing call to respond wholeheartedly with great attentiveness and focus in our lives, living a life of faith, hope, and love that is really receiving the promises of the Lord, internalizing them, and holding on to these treasures so profoundly deep in our being, that receiving the promises of Jesus and what he tells us he's doing in us and wants to do in us. We're awake to it in faith. We receive it personally, and we bank our whole life on it. This is a very important piece of responding to and what we see in the life of the apostles we've been talking about all this week. The example of what they taught, what they did, how they were transformed. It's here for us to take in again and again and to learn from the Holy Spirit to help us see what the Lord can and will produce in us if we internalize his promises, if we walk in his commands, if we seek them in the way he's called us to. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at Renewal Ministries. The programs are all archived there. You can listen to them. While you're there, I encourage you to watch the YouTube videos that Ralph Martin and I and Mary Healy and other people have been putting out, posting pretty much each week. We do one or two of these videos, I think, that have been a real help to many, many people around the country and around the world. We've been hearing from people all over the world saying, please continue to do these. So you'll see not only the YouTube videos there, but our television programs and the whole ministry of Renewal Ministries, the young adult outreach, the high school outreaches, the international missions that we're beginning to do now again as borders begin to open and travel as possible. But there's a lot there for you that can encourage you at a time that is not so encouraging for most people. But as the apostles show us what looked like they had a lot to be discouraged about, lots of opposition from the powers that be. They were punished. They were beaten. They were instructed to stop talking about Jesus. And it's almost like the apostles didn't listen to one word they said. They just went out and did the opposite because they were living under the Lordship of Jesus. And they would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that proclamation we began the week with, the fundamental truths about who he is, the core of the message we're meant to be speaking and living from. The Catechism gives some brief summaries of the title Jesus Christ and Lord and even Son of God. I just want to read a couple of them for you today because I think it's just helpful to see that how the person of Jesus is the center of Christianity. Living with Jesus, having Jesus live in me, being part of his body, the church, that is brothers and sisters, sinful, broken people like me, like you, who have been united through baptism to the one who alone is holy, who saves us, who is the only Savior of the world. We're living in him. We're living through him. We're living from him. Total surrender to him, and he's working miracles in our lives in the midst of that brokenness. It's a beautiful thing. So paragraph 452 from the Catechism says, the name of Jesus means God saves. God saves. Jesus has come to save us. The paragraph continues, the child born of the Virgin Mary is called Jesus. Quote Matthew 1:21, for he will save his people from their sins. Quote, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We stand in need of salvation from what? From the powers of sin and death, which lead to an eternal separation from God. We're saved for heaven, we're saved from hell, and we're saved from the powers that cripple the human race, that is the power of sin and death. You see, we've talked this week and talked many times that Jesus told the apostles, now that you know I'm risen, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and you'll go and you'll preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. It's interesting how many leaders and preachers seem to struggle with whether or not to talk about sin as a good strategy to win modern and postmodern man. I just think we just simply have to do what Jesus tells us to do. Why? Because any winning of people, I know we need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We need to understand our audience, so to speak. We need to speak in the language in which that we can be heard. You can just use all that wisdom and application. But friends, at the end of the day, no heart is turned but by the help of the Holy Spirit. And the important thing to internalize, whether you're formally engaged in preaching, maybe as a priest or a bishop or full-time ministry or teacher in the church or a catechist, using the best tools we have, trying to be as logical and convincing as we can be, is good. But remember what Paul said. When he came among the Corinthians, he said, "I came among you in fear and trembling." He knew his own weakness, and he knew his own incapacity to change the lives of people who were deeply pagan, not living according to God's plan and word, hardly living a totally different life than Paul, who was a Pharisee. Their whole existence was so far from Paul's experience. How's Paul going to speak to them? He said he came in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said because only that the faith they would receive would not rest on Paul's eloquence and Paul's great wisdom. People wouldn't walk away and say, "Wow, that guy's unbelievable. That guy's amazing. He dazzled." Paul said, no, but that my preaching would be confirmed by the Holy Spirit so that your faith would not rest on man's wisdom, my eloquence, my capacity to hold your attention, or as the Greeks who are always seeking wisdom, Paul's kind of referring to there, but that your faith would rest on the power and the anointing and the conviction given to you by the Holy Spirit about the person of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit wants to convince you that you need to see yourself in the light of God's truth and that each one of us stands in need of salvation and that there's no name under heaven, as the Catechism is reminding us from Acts chapter 4, no name given under heaven among men by which we can be saved other than Jesus Christ. That's why the church says without doubt he's the only Savior of the world. And friends, there's more and more voices in the church, even among some of the missionary organizations around the world, some of the missionary orders, have somehow come to this conviction that, well, you know, there's every road kind of leads to God, and every culture has a different road, and every people has a different road. We kind of made a mistake trying to get everybody to think about Jesus and to confess Jesus. So we're just going to know that Jesus is already present in everybody and everything and all these pathways. And we're just going to keep encouraging everybody to move in that pathway. And in the meantime, we're going to help them come out of poverty and we're going to help them deal with the limitations in their lives. And we're going to do everything we can to fix the world here and work together in solidarity. And that'll be it. It's a big mistake. I don't mean it's a mistake to work for solidarity or to help the poor. I don't mean that at all. But what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, us to do, missionary orders to do, is to testify exactly like Peter and Paul did, the reality of who Jesus is, and that everyone stands in need of salvation. Sometimes even, I've heard in the mission field that the poor don't have anything to repent of because they're poor, that they're already saved by virtue of being poor. That's not true either. Every single person stands in need of salvation. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are meant to receive the mercy and the love of God given in Jesus Christ. So there's something missing when missionaries or just ordinary folks, we don't feel an urgency to tell people or we don't think they need to hear it because they kind of have their own path. And what the church wants is everybody just mutually respect everybody's path and affirm everybody's path. That's simply not true. And it completely undermines the message of the apostles and what Jesus himself came and brought to the world. So Jesus, the name Jesus means God saves. He saves us from sin, saves us from hell for heaven. Paragraph 453, the title Christ means anointed one or Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the quote, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He was the one who is to come and the object of the hope of Israel. I love that passage. God from Acts chapter 10, Again, the apostles declaring, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Christianity is a life of anointing in the Spirit, and it's a life of new power to live a new way of life. Essentially, to live out the first and second great commandments, to live them out, the great commandments and the great commission, to go make disciples of all nations. Paragraph 454, then, the title Son of God, it's another title of Jesus, signifies the unique and eternal relationship of Jesus Christ to God the Father. He's the only Son of the Father. Quoting John chapter 1, chapter 3, other places, he's God himself. To be a Christian, one must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's eternally begotten of the Father, like the Creed says, right? God from God, light from light. He is true God from true God. Buddha's not God. Muhammad's not God. Jesus is God. He's the God-man. He's the one who saves man, saves the human race. Another title in paragraph 455 is Lord, which indicates the divine sovereignty of Jesus. He says, to confess and invoke Jesus as Lord is to believe in his divinity. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Love that passage, 1 Corinthians 12:3. Of course, any human being who can speak can say the words, Jesus is Lord. What Paul is talking about here in that passage is that no one can say it and know it and really mean it and really believe it and live under it, because it's the Holy Spirit who shows us the unique majesty and authority of Jesus. You know, I've mentioned this on the program at various times over the last number of years. I can't remember how many times, last time I shared it, but I have to say my own experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit in baptism and in confirmation. It was renewed. But for me, for a while, it lay dormant. The powers, the graces lay dormant because I didn't seek the Lord. I didn't pursue the Lord. I didn't hunger for, I was hungry and thirsting for all kinds of other stuff. I'd skip mass. I'd do all kinds of things. I just wasn't plugged in. And I wasn't living as if I needed salvation or that I was anointed by the Holy Spirit or that Jesus was Lord. I didn't have any fear of God in me in the right kind of way. I was just, it seemed like I was typical, to be honest with you, with a lot of guys that I knew in those days. But by God's grace, being at a conference at Notre Dame in 1978, not long after I graduated from high school, being there and hearing at a large conference preaching of the gospel with 20-some thousand people, maybe 30,000 people there, and the gospel being preached by priests and lay people, men and women, very powerful, lots of conviction, and there was a living faith present in a way that I just had not experienced it before. And in the context of that time, that word was living and it penetrated my heart. It led me to repentance and conviction. And the word became alive, and things I received in baptism is like on that weekend, I received really was the grace of a new Pentecost, the grace of maturing or opening or renewing of the graces of my own baptism. It went from dormancy to living, and what was at the center of it was a real help from the Holy Spirit to see that Jesus is Lord, and all power and authority in heaven and earth belong to him, and he's come to make his home in me as he has in you. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.